we're still in Ephesians, although we just started Ephesians, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we started Ephesians last week. So in Paul's letter, he starts out and he tells them, if you remember last week, he tells them that there's God's promise, that there's God's promise for them and what Jesus has done for them and why he did that. Then if we receive Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes into us and helps us navigate this world, right? He'll help us, guide us, but it also places a seal. Not seal, but a seal, meaning like a king seal. So all the kings of the days back then, they all had their seals. And then if there was a seal upon something, it would mean that it belongs to the king, right? No one could break it unless the king, that's what you're supposed to do, provided the king told you that's what you're supposed to do, or you had to be that right person. And nobody could go against that seal unless they're willing to take on the wrath of the king. Yes?
What are we going on?
What are we going on?
Like Romans?
Ephesians.
Ephesians.
Yeah. Ephesians chapter 1. We're still in chapter 1, and we'll be in verse 15 here in a second. So picture that is that you belong to the King of Kings, right? You belong to God. You know, and if anybody wants to come against you, they're coming against him. So, I mean, who better to be aligned with, right? Right? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. Stephen, can you read that? Oh, sorry.
Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord,
alright, so there's a lot of things Paul doesn't list down why he mentions them, right? There's a lot of things, such as he doesn't say, oh, because you're rich and you might donate to me. He doesn't say that. Because you're famous, or because you have a fancy church building. He doesn't say that. Paul touches on the two most important things for a Christian. He touches on faith in the Lord Jesus. So, obviously, you need to have faith, right? You need to have that faith and you need to trust, a full, true trust in Jesus. Or is there really a point to calling yourself a Christian, right? Because that's how you become a Christian, right? So you need that. The second is to love the love of all saints. So, anybody, who are the saints? St. Peter. See, it's so just that the Ephesians just love St. Peter. Do you think?
No, he didn't.
Yeah.
All the saints, but it's like, I didn't know.
Well, but the ones with the little, when on the paintings, they have the little halos and go on to become popes and
glowy heads.
Yeah. Glowy heads, yeah. Is that who we're talking about?
All the saints.
But who are the saints? Just all the priests? Just you're wrong. You're wrong.
I stand corrected.
You do stand corrected. Yes. Anybody else? Yes. Everybody who believes in Jesus is just, you know, I know we get tripped up with the word saint sometimes, but what Paul is talking about is saints is just believers in Jesus, right? So it's not a specific group of believers, you know, these guys are mightier than the others. It's just talking about all believers in Jesus. Yeah, no, but so, and especially Catholic background, there's, they talk about saints more, and that's where you're getting your thoughts from. So saints is just those who believe in Jesus. Mark 12, 28 through 31, Max. Next slide. Yep, it's two slides. It's actually through 31. I don't know, I must have screwed up.
First of all, the commandments is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord of God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord, and your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all of your strength." This is the first commandment, and the second is,
All right, so this is actually Jesus speaking, right? He talks about these two commandments that are greater than any others. So anyone could say, oh, I love the Lord, right? But how do you know they truly love the Lord? But what? By these two commandments, right? The way Christians showed their love for the Lord, you could see it evidenced because of how they love others. Yo, we don't love others to gain something or the threat of punishment. You know, we should want to do it, not that we have to do it. It's a should want, yes. And we're still, you know, we're under construction, right?
Yeah, but I just see that.
No, you're right, and it's kind of a black eye for being an ambassador of God, because we are ambassadors of God, right? And sometimes there are those what will come across in our human flesh gets in the way, and sometimes we don't, you know, we don't show that love. And if others see it, they definitely will notice a Christian because they're looking for things. People, whether they say it or not, they look towards the Christians, and if they're like, why are they so happy? But then if something goes wrong, they're like, oh, okay, they're not, you know, they don't practice what they preach. So they're looking for that. But there are those Christians what trip up. Right. You know, and there are those, and there's whole congregations what will keep doing certain things, yeah. You know, what aren't necessarily right, but.
So then those would be true Christians, right?
Or would they be? That is a hard question because I'm not the judge. Okay. You know, Jesus is the judge. He's the ultimate judge. So, I mean, it kind of just depends maybe what they did. You know what I mean? Yeah, there's fine lines in everything, and I can't say for sure. I mean, like I said, it depends on basis by basis.
Well, thank you for not just coming up with something
like totally fine. Oh, I'll try not to, but I mean, if you give me an example, we would try to find out what it is. Right. And I've I could do that, but I try not to. I don't want to lie to you guys. I don't. One of my greatest fears. So it's not because we punish, because we want to do it, not because we have to do it, right? That's the whole basis, and we should want to treat others with that same love that God treats us. You know, we should be like a mirror to his love, right? And we should show others. Now, these two are the greatest commandments. And the reason why is because if we follow the first one, you know, we're going to follow the second one. The second one's kind of, it doesn't even really need to be said because we follow the first one. It's going to happen. It's just a cause and effect kind of thing. Because we love the Lord, effectively, we will love others. You know, it's nothing that we have to do. It just happens. Paul also talks about how when we share God with others, how we're to share God with others. Because obviously, if you're trying to share God with somebody, you know, you pray for the lost, right? You should be praying for that person. You know, and then you obviously need to give them information, right, for them to make a decision. So you inform them about the good news or the gospel. But he goes, that's not the finish. You're not done. It's like, okay, well, see ya. I'll never talk to you again. And then, so you don't, that's not the finish. You continually to pray for that person, right? Even if they believe, you're continuing to pray for that person. In Ephesians chapter 1, 17 and 18, Cassia.
That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory and his inheritance in the saints.
So again, Paul did not pray for the Ephesians to get more money, right? He didn't pray for them to get a PS5 or the latest cell phone. You know, it wasn't about that. For wisdom and revelation. So, you know, not in a prophecy sense of foretelling the future, right? But what is revelation? What does the word revelation mean? Anyone?
I know what it means, but I don't know how to explain it.
So is it anything like revelation? It's like, whoa, you just got like, oh, I just understand a mystery.
Yeah, but there's also like a different meaning as well.
But that, you know, it's revealing mystery, or it's revealing of a mystery, or knowledge is that's the way I interpret it. I'm not sure which way, another way. I mean, that's similar, right? Okay. All right. So what Paul is praying for? What is he praying for the Ephesians? He's praying for them to have wisdom, right? Wisdom in what? Wisdom in gaming?
Enlightenment.
In what? Wisdom, enlightenment?
Good life.
Wisdom in life, yes, you could say that. Wisdom in life.
Good life.
Huh?
Good life.
In a good life? Yeah. Wisdom in life. There's knowledge, right? Knowledge of what? That's what I'm trying to.
God and Jesus Christ himself.
Right. Knowledge of him. Right? He's praying that they get to know God better. You know, they have a close relationship with Almighty. You know, the eyes of the understanding. You know, it's talking about those eyes would open up, right? And you could see things. You could actually see things that you didn't see before. But in some translation, the word heart is used instead of understanding. Now, the eyes of the heart, and it sounds kind of weird, so we know eyes aren't in our chest, right? But for the longest time, and from the very beginning, our heart has always been, what guides us in what how our understanding leans. Does it lean this way or that way in understandings, right? So it's the heart what leads, and it's the heart what he wants to know, that he wants to have understanding. All that saying that it is very, very important to know God. And how do we get to know God? By what?
Praising.
Praising, reading the Word, and praying to Him, talking with Him. Right, exactly. That's very important in our walk. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Lily? Yeah. Can you read that?
For the word of God is living and powerful and
sharper
than any two-edged sword, pierced even to the
division. Joints in margin, marrow. Yeah, marrow.
And discerner of thought and intent of heart.
So the Word of God is living. And it's kind of, again, it's those. The Christian vocabulary can sound weird to people that don't believe or have never heard it before. But the Bible is a collection of books, right? It just wasn't one book, just they didn't write it from the beginning to the end. It's a collection of books. And these books are centuries apart, right? The oldest being Genesis, of course, right? And it's over 3,000 years old. So 3,000 years old. People did things just slightly different or a lot different back then. A lot different, right? That's a long time ago. I remember it well. It was nice. Somebody got it, the joke. but why is it applicable today? If it's so old, people did things so differently back then. It's because God's word is his breath, right? And he breathes life. God hasn't changed.
Also, humans haven't changed all that much.
Humans haven't changed. I was going to just say that. Our attitude,
technology.
The way we do it.
Yeah, the only difference is technology.
Right. How we use that technology. The society, cities change.
Oh, that's horrible.
Right?
If Jesus was here now, they would have just legally injected him. Like, wouldn't they have? Gosh. Like,
I.
The cross.
It
crucifixion is still the most painful death, ever created. Maybe it would still crucify.
Maybe.
I mean, it depends. Like, if it was here in the United States, it probably wouldn't crucify him. Probably lethal injection. But.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, you could go in these little trails, but, obviously, God's timing is perfect, so it happened when it needed to happen. But if it happened today, there's a lot of things what could be. Yeah, there's what ifs, yeah. Although I used to always say what ifs can kill you because there's always a what if.
My mom always said, I'm not playing the what if game.
Right, yes.
There's a game, Roblox, and there's a game that I never go on because it's like, what if you got this or what if that? It's
go on one, but I never played because actually someone picked the wrong thing and they actually got someone to their house.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
One of the options was to die or go...
Some people are very not stable out there in this world. And unfortunately, that happens. And I think there are people unstable back then, 3,000 years ago, too. But with technology, it's different, and we hear about things more in the moment.
The media portrays it to be worse.
Sometimes.
It,
right. They focus on all the bad and don't focus on any of the good. Right. But God's word, if we actually listen to it and actually try to understand it and do understand it, it can pierce and change the heart. It's done it throughout the centuries. It's done it to hard men what are very stubborn, but they pierce the heart. It could break down walls. It could point us to the hope that is in Jesus. That hope is hoping that there's more than just what the world deems as valuable, right? The knowledge of doing the right thing, the justification, the freedom from sin, you know, eternal life in the love of God. That is all hopes that are in Jesus. You know, hope that he doesn't flood the world again with all this rain, right? This morning I was thinking about that. But he made a promise that would never happen again. So we're good. The riches of his glory, of his inheritance. Of his, capital H, inheritance. Right? Usually we talk about our inheritance. Right? The inheritance that God's don't give us. But what does God get out of it? You know, it's kind of like shopping for a Christmas gift. What do you get somebody what has literally everything?
Give them a hug.
Give them a hug. That's close to what I was thinking. Huh? God? No, we're talking about God. You can't give God God.
Yeah, you can.
A little picture of himself. Huh?
Is that why it's
totally
thundering now?
Is it totally thundering now? So the example that kept going through my mind, and hopefully people don't get offended, and I could get in that thing, but in my experience, the typical dog, right, little puppy, you know, you could yell at them, you could even spank them, but 10 seconds later, they're trying to lick your face, right? They're trying to lick their face. Now, either they have short-term memory loss, or they love you so much that they just want you to love them back. Yes?
My dog's too smart. It doesn't do that.
It's too smart. It doesn't do that. Like I said, every dog's not the same, but usually dogs are very loyal, and they love their masters, right? Yeah, yeah. Dogs will know what, you know, if they're mad at them. But God loves us so much. He loves us so much. He just wants the best for us. He wants the best for us, and he wants us to love him back. So the hug was really close. Well, it was right on, actually.
Confused me. Are you trying to say a dog is like God?
There's. I'm talking about the love is similar. A dog's love for his master. No, God is not a dog. Even though it's spelled backwards, it's the same. No, and that's why I said, hopefully people don't get offended, because I'm not calling God a dog. Right? But I'm just talking, there's a similarity as far as the love. That love, that unconditional love, that no matter what, no matter what you do to me, no matter how you treat me, I'm going to love you. That's a dog.
Okay,
and that is God.
I've now, just now known, just now realized that God's name is all backwards with the dog.
Right?
So that kind of confuses me, like, is he a dog?
He's not a dog, but I'm just, yeah, I'm just making an example. But he wants the best for us, right? He wants the best for us, and he loves us, and he wants us to love him. And that is why he made a way for us to be in his presence.
Earth.
Hmm?
Earth.
Earth. Earth.
Home.
Home. Heaven. Right?
Oh, I mean,
he wants to be, he wants us to live with him forever. Right? He wants to be in presence. He wants to have that closer relationship. I mean, we have that close, we have the opportunity for that closer relationship, that we could go to him anytime and we could talk to him. Right? And it, and that's what he wants. But he wants to be in our presence. And the way he did that is we have to believe in Jesus. Yes?
Made the moon.
Did God make the moon?
Yeah.
Yeah. He made everything. Everything.
I like the moon, and God made it, so I like God.
There you go. Ephesians chapter 1, 19 through 21. Jesse. Whoa, that's a lot of work. So the death of Christ, that just demonstrates God's great love for us. You know, for us, right? And there's no greater love than somebody who would lay down their life for somebody else. Because that's true sacrifice, that's sacrificing everything. Now, the raising of Christ from the dead demonstrates God's great power. Right? Great power and command over everything. He's in charge of everything. Right? If he could do that, he could do anything. Every king has its court. And what the court is that group of people, and there's an order of people in charge. Right? This person's next, next, next. And, you know, there's a line. In military or in royalty, there's a line with proceeding of who gets to be empowered next, right? And God put Jesus the right hand, meaning he's above everyone else, right? He's above everyone, except for God. And he is. There's the old Trinity. That's good. So he's in charge of everybody. No name is greater than his, is what it's saying. Ephesians chapter 1, 22 through 23. Stephen? So under his feet, meaning that, you know, he's in charge of them. You know, they're under him. You know, Jesus is in charge. You know, we don't pray to people under God, under Jesus, right? We don't pray to those people. We go directly to him because he allowed that. That's what he wants. Right? And what better way to get something is you go to the man in charge. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Maximilian?
Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved.
Right? There's no other name, right? Meaning that there's no other way. We have to go through Jesus. That's the only way. You know, he made a way, but we have to go through Jesus. You know, we can't do it on our own. We have to go through them. And if you think about it, you guys are friends with the most powerful being in the universe, right? That's your friend. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Cassia? Right. You know, there is power on who you know. You know, it's who you know is what's important, right? It's who you have a relationship with. Use wisdom and get to know the person what really matters, the person what's in charge. Cassia, can you close us in prayer?